From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, March 13th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by the Dempsey Center, making life better for people managing the impact of cancer. Locations in Lewiston and South Portland. DempseyCenter.org.
The Political Action Committee for Central Maine Power is challenging whether opponents of its controversial transmission corridor have enough signatures to put the project on the November ballot. Steve Missler has more.
In a court filing in Kennebec County Superior Court, CMP's Clean Energy Matters PAC alleges that many signatures gathered by the anti-corridor campaign are invalid because the petitions were notarized by people involved in the campaign. If the allegations are correct, it could undo a recent certification by the Maine Secretary of State that would allow voters to determine the fate of the $1 billion, 145-mile project. CMP's PAC recently foreshadowed that it would contest that certification when it filed a private investigator's affidavit with state election officials. The private investigator said he had been hired to tail anti-corridor workers as they hustled to get more than 60,000 signatures to qualify for the November ballot. A Superior Court judge could review CMP's challenge and potentially remand the case back to the Secretary of State to conduct an investigation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And the state's getting some additional coronavirus testing capacity from a private Maine laboratory. Mal Leary has details.
Maine CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah says that as of today, the state lab has the capacity to test about 1,000 samples using materials provided by the federal government. But Nordex Labs, which is part of Maine Health, is also testing for the new virus.
The source of the tests that hospital systems like Maine Health obtain their test kits is different from the U.S. CDC, which again means by Nordex going online with a test kit, they are not taking anything away.
According to the CDC, two Mainers have been classified as presumptive positive for the coronavirus. Another person is having their test reviewed. Shah says there is no backlog in testing, but it takes about 2 days to get results. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And in weather tonight, we'll have clouds and mountain flurries in the north, skies clearing in the rest of the state with highs in the mid-20s to the mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy north and mountains with some isolated flurries. Otherwise, partly sunny, windy, with highs in the low 30s to the low 50s. On Sunday, partly sunny and breezy with highs in the mid-20s up to the mid-40s. And Monday, mostly sunny and quiet, highs in the mid-20s to mid-30s. Maine now has, as we've heard, two presumptive positive cases of the illness caused by the coronavirus. A third preliminary positive case is still being examined. The individuals are from Androscoggin and Cumberland counties. With more cases of COVID-19 expected to develop, Patty White reports that hospitals are ramping up to meet demand and advising who should get tested and where.
Testing for COVID-19 isn't simple, says Dr. Dora Mills. She's the Chief Health Improvement Officer at Maine Health. At a daily press briefing on Friday, Mills explained that the test for the illness involves two swabs, one in the back of the throat, the other in the nose. And the person conducting the test has to be dressed in personal protective equipment from head to toe. That includes a mask,
an eye shield, a gown, gloves, etc. And they have to be in a room that you can then, after the test, take offline for a couple of hours and disinfect it.
Given the amount of protective equipment required, Mills says, doctors are being judicious when deciding who to test.
We have adequate supplies right now of that, but we want to ensure that we maintain adequate supplies of our personal protection equipment, particularly as this virus may ramp up here.
Currently, she says, most doctors in Maine consider a patient's symptoms and exposure.
If somebody has the symptoms of a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, and they have traveled from a place where there have been outbreaks, significant outbreaks, and that is a list that continues to expand, including Boston and New York.
Or, she says, if the patient has been in close contact with somebody who has a known COVID-19 infection. Maine Center for Disease Control Director Dr. Nirav Shah says anyone who has symptoms and thinks they may have COVID-19 should first call their doctor.
We do not recommend that you go to the ER. we ask that you call your doctor's office or an urgent care facility first.
Still, hospitals are gearing up to offer testing sites that keep people with possible COVID-19 cases out of waiting rooms with other patients. Central Maine Healthcare established satellite testing on Friday at all three of its hospitals in Lewiston, Bridgeton, and Rumford. Spokeswoman Kate Carlisle says they're in tents outfitted with lab equipment just steps away from emergency departments.
We are also looking into the possibility of equipping other remote facilities that are in our network with these sites.
Maine General in Augusta is working to establish drive-through screening for high-risk patients, according to a spokesperson. Northern Light Health also expects to offer drive-up screening in several communities beginning next week. And Dr. Mills says Maine Health's hospitals are setting up specific testing sites. Maine Health has also started conducting tests through its lab, Nordex, to boost the state's capacity.
So it's not the same test kit that US CDC has been distributing. It's a different type of test kit that some other states are using.
Northern Light Health says its labs will have the ability to run COVID-19 tests within a few weeks. State CDC Director Dr. Shaw says Maine has the ability to conduct roughly 1,000 tests from the kit it received from the US CDC. As of Friday, about 100 had been used, and Shaw expects more kits will be needed.
What we are doing right now is working with the US CDC to make sure we put our order for any subsequent test kits in now so that we don't have any discontinuities or interruptions in testing.
As health systems prepare for more cases, Shaw urges older adults and those with chronic conditions to also prepare by having adequate supplies, including medications, to last 2 weeks. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
One of the people whose test is a presumptive positive for the new coronavirus is a City of Portland employee who worked at the India Street Public Health Clinic. As a result, city officials announced today that they are closing the clinic for 2 weeks. Maine Public Radio's Robbie Feinberg attended an afternoon press briefing about this development. He joins us now to share more about the city's response. Robbie, tell us what you know about this new case.
Yeah, so officials today, they said that the man is a resident of Cumberland County. He's in his 50s, and what we know is that he was screened at an outpatient clinic, and he's now self-quarantined at home. Portland City Manager John Jennings says the city has reached out to other employees and patients of the clinic who had contact with the man. And at this point, 23 public health staff and 7 volunteers are now self-quarantined. Here's what he said.
Please know that we are taking this pandemic very seriously, and all of our plans are made in line with the best public health practices and the goal of protecting our staff and the public health and safety.
And what are the plans for the clinic and other facilities that the city runs?
Yeah, that's still a bit up in the air. The city has announced that it's closing the India Street Clinic for 2 weeks and is working with other community groups to make sure that patients will still receive medical care while it's closed. But the plans for other buildings are still up in the air. Portland City Hall was closed early on Friday at around 3 p.m. And Jennings says the plan is for city staff and leaders to all meet and discuss future plans, whether to close City Hall for a time, and maybe even other buildings, too. So we'll likely learn more about that very soon.
And did the city announce anything else today?
Yeah, it did. So one big question has been around cruise ships, which are obviously big business in the state and in Portland with the season about to get underway. Jennings says that 2 cruise ships were scheduled to come to the city in April, but at this point, the city says that those ships won't be allowed to come into port, at least for the time being. The city also talked about how it's trying to limit exposure amongst residents who are homeless at its shelters. Jennings says that the city has reserved space at both its family shelter and Oxford Street shelter, where staff can isolate guests who may test positive for the virus. And that means that they should be able to still stay at the shelter and keep getting services even if they do test positive. And in addition to all of those changes, city leaders repeated what we've been hearing from state and federal public health officials, which is to limit large group gatherings and practice social distancing to ensure that you don't come into contact with others.
And we'll talk a little bit more about social distancing in a few minutes. That's Maine Public Radio reporter Robbie Feinberg. Thanks a lot, Robbie.
Thanks, Nora.
We'll be right back.
While stalling the progress of the coronavirus around the country and in Maine is the focus of attention today, the national and local economies are taking a beating. Business owners in Maine's biggest employment sector, hospitality, are trying to strategize for survival. Fred Bever has more.
Business seemed brisk early Thursday evening at the Hunts and Alpine Club, a 7-year-old restaurant on Portland's peninsula whose rise has paralleled the city's foodie scene. But co-owner Brianna Volk says it's not as busy as it should be.
No, this is much slower. We've seen over the past probably week that we've been down a pretty recognizable percentage. And from the beginning of the year, we had actually been trending up and doing better than the years prior. And so this has been a noticeable hit to us.
Volk is emphasizing her dedication to protecting customer safety. Cleanliness is a hallmark of a good restaurant, after all. And she also wants to protect her tip-dependent employees' wallets. She sees the coming weeks as an all-too-real stress test for the enterprise.
We're seeing less people from out of town and seeing less people that are traveling, which is, you know, it's part of the Portland and Maine economy. A huge part is having tourism and having people travel. So to see a dent in that is frightening and is concerning for us.
This is ordinarily a slower season for the state's hospitality industry. But Steve Hewitt, executive director at Hospitality Maine, the industry trade group, says that makes long-scheduled meetings, conferences, and other events an essential part of keeping a healthy revenue stream flowing.
They're seeing cancellations pretty significantly, especially in the hotel side of things. People that are canceling individual bookings, but probably more importantly right now, canceling meetings and events that are very important to the profitability of you know, the individual restaurants or hotels.
And that interview took place on Thursday before Governor Janet Mills called for an end to any events involving indoor gatherings of more than 250 people. Her Commissioner of Economic and Community Development, Heather Johnson, says it's all hands on deck to react effectively to the developing crisis and try to save the summer tourist season. One clear goal, adjust strategies for what could be a season that's more dependent on visitors driving to Maine, but not getting here by plane or cruise ship. That means some quick changes in a national multimedia marketing blitz focused on the state's bicentennial that's about to launch.
It's just this really compelling campaign, and now I think maybe we need to think about how we use that campaign a little bit differently. And, you know, attracting people from flyable markets may not be kind of a great investment in this particular moment.
And Johnson met today with small business representatives to try to get a better handle on what kinds of information and resources they need.
We already have a site called Business Answers that DECD runs, and we are adding and updating the programs on that site so that people can easily find them. We'll continue to push them out in a number of venues, including social media and others as well.
Johnson's also working with the banking community, the Small Business Administration, and the Finance Authority of Maine to design a quick package of low-cost loans that could help tide businesses over with fixed costs or even payroll support. At Hunts and Alpine, Brianna Volk is looking for something more robust, like a grant program funded by the state's Rainy Day Fund, particularly if the government shuts down restaurants.
Really focused on helping the workers in the state so they know that, you know, they'll be able to pay rent, that their utilities won't be shut off, that they'll have access to food and childcare, and ways to help find those things without having to take on more debt to be able to do that.
Volk is being proactive herself, communicating with colleagues in Seattle, for instance, about tactics they are devising to stay afloat amidst that community's early experience with the virus. So, for those who aren't comfortable dining out right now but still want to support their local establishment, she is promoting gift cards. And Volk says she is likely to start a new segment of the business dedicated to takeout. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And as some buildings are closing, sports events are being canceled, and colleges and universities around the state are closing their campuses in favor of online learning, we are being encouraged to practice social distancing. To find out exactly what that means, I spoke today by phone with Maine Health Chief Improvement Officer, Dr. Dora Ann Mills.
The whole idea, the whole purpose of social distancing is to flatten what's called the epidemic curve. So what we know with an epidemic is you get this surge of patients who get sick, and they tend to get sick a lot at the same time. And that can put a real strain on the healthcare system. So what you're doing with social distancing is to make sure that fewer people get sick all at once. And so there may be even the same number of people over time who get sick, but they don't get sick all at the same time or all in the same time period. So what you do is you try to spread people out, literally. I mean, you can't catch an infectious disease like this, this coronavirus, if you are separated from somebody by a few feet, and particularly they're not sneezing or coughing. And so you're trying to spread people out, literally. And so you do things like try to see if people can work from home. And even if not everybody can work from home, but you have a workplace with 200 people and, you know, and 70% of the people can work from home, that's better because they're spread out and you don't have as many people in the office building. Then you try to, especially those who are at risk for severe disease, like our people who are older, particularly those over 60, people who have serious chronic medical conditions, we ask that they stay mostly at home right now, that they not go into the store, particularly when it's crowded, that they not travel, they not travel on an airplane, they not go on a cruise, and that they avoid crowds. In fact, the official recommendations from CDC is if you're in a high-risk group, don't be in groups of people of 10 or more. Social distancing doesn't mean social isolation. So we want to make sure that people are stayed in touch with. But we can do that, fortunately, these days through phone and video phones and waving through the door, even though. So lots of ways we can stay in touch with people. But that's what social distancing is about. And the whole idea is to try to flatten that epidemic curve.
So for those of us who are not in a high-risk group and maybe people who have kids as well, what are the best practices for social distancing? What are the things we should do?
We do recommend that people not congregate in large groups. The 250 has been set as the recommendation here in Maine for right now. That could even go down even lower. But if you're, you know, thinking of a birthday party or going to the movies, I think it might be fine. But I just keep it on the lower side of those numbers. And people also just making sure that they're being very vigilant with respiratory hygiene, covering their coughs and sneezes, being very careful that way. You know, the two major strategies to flatten the epidemic curve is not only social distancing, but respiratory hygiene, so that people are not, if they are encountering each other, they're not as likely to pass germs to each other. So for those people who are healthy, we still recommend that you practice social distancing, not going into big crowds, and think twice about traveling even to on an airplane. Just to try to keep the transmission lower. We're trying to really try to prevent that surge of disease that could come, preventing that from coming. Working from home if you're able to, or even spreading out when you're at work. So anything we can do to just kind of keep, literally going to keep away from each other. Going into a restaurant, I mean, I feel bad because I think restaurants are probably suffering right now, but I think it's okay if you're young and healthy to go to a restaurant. But, you know, it's probably easier right now to get a table that's not squished right up to next somebody else's table. We have meetings at Maine Health right now, and we're sitting every other seat. We're not having meetings of any size of people, large groups of people. And that is kind of the idea of social distancing, is to keep people at least about 3 to 6 feet apart.
I saw something about recommending that people not do social events of more than 10 people at this point.
That's particularly for people who are in high risk. So the US CDC is saying if you are in the high risk category for severe disease, that is you're 60 or over, or you have a serious chronic medical condition, that you not congregate in groups of 10 or more.
Now, I am curious, it is spring and this is Maine. Is it safer for people to get outside and do things? A lot of the warnings I've seen concern indoor activities. Are outdoor activities okay?
Yes, that's a great question. And yes, it is. It's much safer to be outside. You've got the airflow. You have sunshine or rain, I guess, today. But you have elements that actually help to take germs away. and they land, they tend to land on the ground, and then you're not encountering them. So yes, and I would say that, you know, this is also a stressful time. So actually getting outside is not only better for your physical health, I think it's better for our overall emotional health. I think it's a very uplifting to get outside, and particularly as spring is springing.
And that's Dora Ann Mills, Chief Health Improvement Officer for Maine Health. You'll find more information at mainepublic.org. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Have a great weekend. I'm Nora Flaherty.